Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming alive from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience here on the start of week two around the NFL. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 206 on Twitter, Tinky and Tierney. SiriusXM 206, as I said, 1-855-212-4227. And, Teak, what's happening, buddy?
Well, it's good, man. It's a Thursday. It's Thursday night football. Hopefully this one will be more eventful than last Thursday night football.
Yeah, last Thursday was horrendous.
Yeah. We know the first game of the season is always rough, but when it's on a Thursday night to boot, it's really rough.
Yeah, and it could be rough again if Jameis Winston doesn't play a lot better than he played against the Niners. Two pick sixes. He was horrendous. The Bucs, obviously, playing at Carolina. Carolina played well, played tough, lost a tight one to the Rams, who obviously are going to be in the mix for the Super Bowl. So it's a big game. I mean, it's a big game. You know, I mean, it's still I don't know. I think we all expected Jameis Winston to, like, magically emerge from the tunnel a completely different player because of Bruce Arians. Not going to happen that fast, but we got to see a little something soon.
No, we do, because they have to make a decision, not this year, but they got to make a decision. And when he plays poorly like he did at the end of this game, as an aside, there were so many penalties in that game, the Buccaneers game. It was frustrating to watch. I think I heard the stat that there were, and I recognize this in real time, but I think there were like four touchdowns called back because of penalty in that Buccaneers game. So it was ugly for a lot of different reasons, not just because how Jameis played, but the refereeing was ugly. And I think there were like 10 holding calls.
Holding, it was, offense.
Every play, it felt like there was a penalty or something going on. But most importantly, Jameis Winston threw some bad interceptions.
Yes, he did.
At the end of the game when they had chances to get back in it, and that can't be the case if he wants to be the guy there in the future.
No doubt, the evaluation continues. We'll get into we spent a lot of time on Big Ben this hour, some pretty fascinating stuff. There was a pretty good article, ESPN had this, and it kind of speaks to the shaping, the growth, the changes he's trying to embrace as a leader here. My morning sucked. I'm on the practice range today, right? Finally go to the club today, hit some balls. No one's there. It's phenomenal, right? I'm actually striping. I'm feeling pretty good, right? I get a text message from my wife. Now, she's not breaking sports news to me. I see, what is this? A screenshot of Sam Darnold? And obviously, we'll get more into Darnold in hour number two. My season's over, dude. My football season's totally over.
What was that?
It's over.
How high was it going to be anyway? So it's going to be good this year or better than last year. But it's not like you were winning the Super Bowl this year as a Jets fan.
No, but this was an important year for me. Man, I needed to see a little progress here. Listen, we've been doing this for a long time. 70% of a decade, you and I. And not once have I really started a season with any genuine enthusiasm. You know that about me.
I know it.
I knew that Todd Bowles was not the guy, said it a million times. I knew Mike Maccagnan wasn't the guy, said it a million times. I knew they didn't have the right quarterback, said it a million times. Although I thought Geno could maybe be salvaged, but the other guys, I knew it. This is how the Jets season starts. Now, I take you through a little journey here. I haven't done that. I usually do this once a year with the Jets.
Yeah, and it's usually later.
And it's usually much later.
When it's like completely done and it's hopeless and you're looking for who you're going to draft.
Correct, but it's coming right now. So to start the season, finally get a tight end. You know, the Jets have not had a modern offense. Jets finally have a tight end with some wiggle, Chris Herndon. He gets popped for PEDs. Okay, a lot of teams go through suspensions. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. Take it on the chin, move forward. Second preseason game, the guy they brought in from the Titans last year, Avery Williamson, who's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Tackle machine, good, solid, sturdy pro, diligent pro. Rips up his ACL. You know why? Because Adam Gase forgot to take him out of the second play of the preseason game. Adam Gase said after the Falcons, And I appreciate his candor, I guess. But he said, you know, that's actually on me. He should have been out of the game. No other starters win the game. Thanks, Adam. So he's lost for the season, right? Week one. Jets have a 16-0 lead, right? 16-0 midway through the third quarter against a divisional rival, all right?
Important game.
A very important game because you got the Browns coming up on Monday. Mm-hmm. You got to play the Cowboys this year. You got to play good teams. You got to play Pats twice early. What happens? They collapse. They give up 17 unanswered points. The Jets lose. Okay. There's a lot of teams around the NFL that collapse. The Lions collapsed. Other teams give up leads. It happens, right? Then all of a sudden, then the biggest defensive free agent import that the Jets had, C.J. Mosley, the opposite of Bell. We'll get to him. Le'Veon Bell right now is in an MRI tube as we actually start the show. But the defensive impact player they bring in, who, by the way, was the best player on the field against the Bills, had a pick six, made a sick play in the end zone, dropping back into coverage. C.J. Mosley hurts his groin, goes out of the game. Jets can't stop the Bills. Don't know if he's playing Monday night. That's C.J. Mosley. Now we get to the kicker. And this is the funniest part of the whole thing, right? So the Jets have actually always had pretty decent kickers. You know, I went to a small school. I love Marist. You know that. We have had two guys make the NFL. Two! One guy, I'm not even sure how you still say his name, Fide or Fide, I'm still not positive, and Jason Myers,
yes,
who somehow winds up on the Jets last year. He makes the Pro Bowl. The Jets let him go. So two guys in Marist's entire history make the NFL. Somehow one of them is on my team, and they let him walk, right? Why did we lose week one? Because we couldn't kick straight. So what happens this week? Five people come in, open try, come on down. If you play JV soccer, we'll give you a shot. Maybe you can make the team.
Literally a guy who played JV soccer came.
There was a guy on the side of the road with a sign saying, please give me a chance, all right? Then
did they give him a chance, by the way?
No, they didn't, actually. Boomer and Geo tried to get it going. They actually tried to get that. They didn't give a shot, right? Watch, you probably be for the Pats. When Gostkowski retires, he'll be the all-pro kicker for the Pats. Le'Veon Bell. The Jets finally have one of the best players in football. Plays one game. He's literally in an MRI tube right now. Don't know his status. The quarterback has mono. Is this the senior prom? How the hell? And by the way, he might not play for months. Forget about the Browns. And oh yeah. We get to play on national TV on Monday night. We are going to get ravaged and embarrassed and humiliated. So I know it's a little early usually for me on my Jet end of the season meter rant, but it's over.
You don't like Trevor Siemian?
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry. Ty Montgomery.
I had to get that off my chest.
No, clearly you had to get it off your chest. I feel for you in a sense. But
nah, you don't. Don't give me the pity you feel for me.
I mean, it's,
I feel
for you in a funny way.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Because in a way, this was a season where it was supposed to start heading in the right direction for your Jets.
That's why I'm so sad.
But how much of this is I mean, mono is nobody's fault.
Of course it's nobody's fault.
I don't even know how you get that anymore. I mean, it was... You said it was just a high school prom. It's like kissing. You kiss too much, you get mono.
It could be something in the shower. It could be something like a spoon in the facility. There are a million ways to transmit mono. And I love Sam. He's such a good kid.
But if there's one thing that's going to bring down your season, that is your quarterback.
Yep.
It's not going to be mono. It's going to be an ACL injury or a shoulder sore.
A clavicle like Nick Foles.
Something. Got a groin.
Good
whatever.
God
almighty. It's not going to be mono.
Oh, I forgot. Our starting wide receiver had basically retired yesterday.
Yeah, Quincy Enunwa.
Forgot about him. My bad.
Yeah.
That you cannot have. I mean, I don't think you could have a worse start to the season.
No, you can't.
I like, sincerely don't.
No, you can't.
All hyperbole and nonsense and having fun on the radio aside, I don't think you can.
Lose the way you lost and then lose almost every impact player on your team.
And especially the first ones that you brought in the new one. Oh, and I forgot Quinnen Williams got hurt on Sunday. The third overall pick got hurt, had to leave the game. All right, I'm done with that. I had to get that out of my system, buddy. So... now we can start the show. And now your boy will trigger in and he'll be a professional the rest of the show.
I really feel bad for you.
These guys. All right. Did you read the article about Ben? I know you did. Rhetorical question. What'd you take away from it?
Well, I mean.
Duh.
All right. So when you're young and you're a quarterback or a player in a leadership position, you try your hardest to mesh and be a part of every conversation, to be a leader directly to every influential person on the team. It is what it is. You have to be that because nobody knows you, right? Nobody knows what you're going to give them on a week in and week out basis on a football field And so developing your leadership style is important. As you get older and you age away from some of these young players that are coming in, and that's particularly important in this instance with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger and some of the guys who are saying he's a bad leader and his practice habits are bad and he doesn't talk to us and all those other things. As you get older, it becomes less about trying to make boys and be your boy all the time. Yeah, we hang out. We went to dinner. We talk all the time. He knows about my family. It becomes less about that and more about I'm going to lead you by example. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be prepared. And on Sunday afternoons or Mondays and whatever night you're playing, I'm going to give you exactly what you expect I'm going to give you week in and week out. And Big Ben, for the most part, has been that. Sometimes it's not good on Sundays, but it's pretty consistent.
He's been a star in the NFL.
He's been a star. You know exactly what you're getting. Yeah he's going to make some mistakes, like the Jacksonville game in the postseason where it was just ugly. Like, the hell are you doing, Ben? Right? But for the most part, Big Ben has been great. And so when I start hearing this generation, and I'm assuming this is the young side, because I don't think any of the vets that have been around Ben for a long time are saying, yeah, he's a bad leader. Yeah, he doesn't really talk to me. Yeah, he takes Wednesdays off for a maintenance day. He's 38 years old. Of course, he's got to take a day off every
like
now and then.
He's 47. He's not in good shape.
He got beat up for a living. That was his deal, right? So for a younger generation to not understand and then throw like the consummate vet, even though he's had his issues, but the consummate vet for the Pittsburgh Steelers under the bus, it's lowbrow, and it indicates something that I don't like in sport, right? Where you got to be my best friend, otherwise you're not a good leader. That's not sport, man. Sport is being ready and being accountable for when your number is called. Big Ben has been that. Being a leader is showing that when times get tough or the game gets off the rails, I'm going to bring us back. And Ben has always been that. And so just to say that he's a bad leader and create this headline that now will be talked about in the Steelers locker room and around Pittsburgh if they don't play better than they did last week against the New England Patriots, that Big Ben somehow has become less of a leader because he's not friendly with a 23-year-old millennial. Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all. I'm Big Ben's not my favorite person.
Yeah.
But to say he's not a leader is crap.
Okay. Interesting. The two things that I said one before, you know, I'll say it again. He looks physically, and not just because he gets his brains beat and everything. He just looks heavy.
He does.
I mean, Big Ben, it gets harder.
It gets harder.
But it doesn't seem like he's tried. Like, I mean, he's got a beer belly almost.
But do we know what physically he's like? His off season is like when you're young. You can season ends in February, whatever, January or February if you end up going deep. Season's over. By like March, you're like, dude, get me back in the gym. I'm ready to get jacked and strong and let's go. Let's get ready again. But as you get older and you play a 17-week season or even 18 or 19 if you go and get into the postseason, by March, you're ready, like, dude, I gotta heal, man. I gotta sit down. I gotta relax. I gotta do nothing so that my body can regenerate and my muscles can start feeling better before I start pounding on them again. And so he's 38 years old.
So's Eli. Eli's in good shape.
His body does it. Eli's a different body.
He's a different body type. No, that's fair. Right? But I just
And so, Big Ben, and Eli, by the way, he gets hit a lot, but he doesn't take the hits that Ben does. Ben stands there and just pound on me. I'm going to stand here, take it, and find a throw downfield. He's been doing that for 15 years.
Yeah,
BT.
Yeah, okay.
At some
All
point,
right.
your I mean, body just doesn't respond, and you can't work hard.
But he's kind of been a little lumpy for a long time.
He has been. But it hasn't affected him, though. That's my point. I think at some point, with every athlete, any athlete.
Yeah, they're a prolific offense.
It just catches up to you, right?
Yep.
It just catches to you, and you just all of a sudden, like carrying that extra few pounds or, you know, not putting in that extra time, it catches you and it feels like that's what's happening.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Ben, I don't know, maybe the first game, I don't think it is, but maybe it's a bit of a foreshadow of what's going to be a hard physical and statistical demise for the Steelers and for Big Ben. I can't say that yet. I mean, you and I picked them to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So as much as I jump off the Jets ship in week one, that's a lot easier to do. The Steelers are a very different monster. Steelers are a world-class organization. However, My critique, you know, you talk about the relationship with the, or non-relationships, if the reports are right, mm-hmm. with the 23-year-old millennial, I don't care about that either, but he does point the finger a lot. The thumb rarely goes at his pads. The finger usually goes out to the rest of the locker room.
Yeah, which he was criticized about.
And I believe that is fully justified. You know, being a leader isn't just say, hey, come on, guys, come over. We'll have a barbecue, couple of beers. We'll watch film. You get to know my family. I want to hear about yours. And that really builds, you know, strong bridges that are sustainable. But it's also when things go awry, as they have many times with the Steelers over the past 3-4 years, a multitude of incidents with different players. This guy's always out there pointing the finger. That's not to say he's not trying to change. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that he cannot change. But, you know, as I sit here, no doubt he's a Hall of Famer. No doubt he's a two-time champion. Do I have great reverence for Ben Roethlisberger? I don't. I have reverence for the fact that he gets his tail kicked in and he gets up. That you have to respect. As a leader, I don't think he's a good leader at all.
Yeah, and the challenging thing for this 2019 season is they don't have the luxury of turning around, handing it off, or chucking it down to Le'Veon Bell, or run a fly route. We're just going to throw it up. Go make a play, AB.
That masked a lot of deficiencies.
It absolutely did.
I hear you. 1-855-212-4227. You know, it's interesting. I want to get some calls on this because we talk about the quarterbacks around the NFL, and there's so many different discussions. You know, for years it was, you know, has Brady finally surpassed Joe Montana? Clearly surpassed everybody. The answer is yes. But it's about Rodgers and how he's a little unique in the locker room, and he's got to get a second ring. We talk about Eli, who's got the two championships, but he's not a great player. You know, Big Ben is a guy that we generally gloss over because the stats are there and he's got the two chips. But I am curious how the nation perceives him from a leadership point of view. I really want to dig into that a bit. 1-855-212-4227. Big one for Jameis tonight. He's got to show a little something. Panthers trying to get their first win as well. Week two is on their way. Jason Lock in 4 hour 2. We got a lot cooking. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Let's face it, we all like a little added value when we shop, right? Now, if you like to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're in luck. Stock up on everything you need for your car or motorcycle, from brakes and batteries to engines, cleaners, and tires, and earn points that get you money back. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. Spend a little, make a little. It's really simple. Just stop into your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. You'll earn 1 point for every dollar spent at O'Reilly. You can even get your rewards twice as fast and on the go when you provide your email address. O'Reilly O-Rewards. Become a member and get $5 back for every $150 you spend. It's fast, easy, and free. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. How cool is that? Manage, earn, and redeem O-Rewards. See your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'Rewards.com for details and sign up online today if you haven't already. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. On Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Of course, we get some of these calls, see what's cooking there. You know, the one thing that I'll say, you know, and you get this in our business, you get this in, well, you really get this anywhere, mm-hmm. where, you know, one thing I've always said, I don't have many rules for me, except be a good person. Treat others the right way.
Yeah.
You know, show respect that my parents taught me and pay that forward, right? And really don't be jealous. You know, I'm not a jealous person. When people do well in our business, I'm sincerely happy for them. Like, I very, very, unless they're just not a good person, I harbor no ill will, no resentment, no negative vibes, right? But there are a lot of people who are jealous, and there are a lot of people who are petty in this world.
Yeah.
And I know you're the same way as me. You are definitely, you don't have a jealous bone in your body. But generally, when things are said, and it's not just like a one-off, like, and I say that, I preface it all with the jealousy, because there are people who might kind of plant a rumor, this guy's not a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you just hear this, you hear that.
Yeah, and it's not even true. They're just jealous or whatever. When you keep hearing the same thing, right? For years we heard, Man, Tiger Woods, he is a horrendous tipper. He is cheap. Guess what? He is cheap. I went to one of his Tiger jams years ago in Vegas. He's cheap. And when people keep saying, Big Ben, he's not, really that good of a leader. I kind of believe it. I don't think he's that good of a leader.
But what is it depends on what leadership is.
You tell me. You played.
It varies, right? Because Eli is a good leader. Yeah. Nobody would have thought he would have been because of his personality. He's quiet. He's quirky. He's not Tom Brady. He's not even his brother. You know. So what? If you are put in a position of leadership, your leadership style is what permeates, and if it works and guys buy in and you have success, then you're a good leader.
Yep.
If it doesn't work and you don't have success, then through no fault of your own, because you lead how you lead, you're not a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Big Ben, and this was my point, has had lots of success in his career. So whatever his leadership style is, it's got to be good. And so the fact that people or reports are now anonymously, BT,
which I know you hate, and I don't like that either at all.
Creeping out that, yeah, Big Ben, you know, didn't even try to talk to me. I was like, as soon as I came up with the practice squad, he didn't, because you were on the practice squad. You might even know your damn name.
Go get my shoulder pads.
You know what I mean? So I think it's an unfair shot at a guy who's had a lot of success.
But how do we know it's not accurate
in the NFL?
My
point is, though, it doesn't matter because he's had success. His leadership style works because they've had success. If you're not a good, it doesn't just happen. You're not just like going to put a collection of guys together and they're really good and yet we're going to have success. Like, that chemistry, it matters. I think, honestly, and it's too early to make this definitively,
mm-hmm,
or state this definitively, but I think that's what's wrong with the Browns right now. They're not coalesced.
Mm-hmm.
They're great individual talents, and somebody's got to be the leader, but who is it? And what leadership style ultimately drives them forward? And if it's just a bunch of disparate, you know, mindsets and attitudes and egos.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say, right? Yeah, it's not going to work.
It's not going anywhere. Okay, I don't care how good they are on paper.
Let me challenge you, though, then. Again, when it comes to the locker room, this is your world, man. I'm just volleying this back. I do want to challenge you in this regard. Most of Ben's team success came when he was young. I mean, ultimate pinnacle achievements.
Well, I mean, they've constantly been in the postseason.
I understand that.
They don't have losing records.
No, I'm not saying that. But the leadership was already in place when he came into the NFL.
True.
So, as the older sage voices, the really respected veterans were gone,
mm-hmm,
there was a void. And I don't think he adequately picked it up. You mentioned Eli. Listen, we could talk about Eli's career as a player. One thing, and I've seen every snap for the most part he's ever taken. You never, ever, ever see Eli show somebody up on the field or call somebody out in the paper or on a radio show, which he has done for his entire career in New York City locally.
Except for this year.
Big Ben has.
Yeah, except for this year.
Yeah, I hear you.
Big Ben has. I know.
Big Ben goes on the radio every single week and he says something about his teammates. How is that leadership?
Yeah, I mean, it's because he thinks he's motivating guys, and that's what he's missing.
He's alienating guys.
And by the way, those guys are young. It's the James Washingtons of the world, or AB. AB's not young, but AB's, we know, he's got issues. Le'Veon Bell never really had an issue with Big Ben. You never heard him, you know, lashing out at Big Ben. So it's just, once you get generationally separated from the majority of a locker room, the leadership, it just gets odd, man. It's really hard to do it when you're not of the same generation. And that's what he's facing right now.
Let's say he's got to sit down there and play video games with the kids, with the young players. But you got to still, don't you think that they have to know
But think about that. How does that work, BT? Like, seriously, how does that work? Because you get to the stadium at 7 o'clock or 7:30 in the morning, whatever it is. You get your coffee and you go have a meeting with your position coach. And then you get into a team meeting. And then you break up into your individual meetings and then you have maybe a little bit of a break. I don't know what their full schedule is, but a break before you go out on the field,
mm-hmm,
and then you practice, and then you come out of practice and you watch tape and you're digging into tape until, you know, the end of the day, and then you go home. So, like,
how do the other quarterbacks do it? They find a way to be a leader. They squeeze it in with the same schedule, the same rigorous, you know, plan where it's, you know, here. I don't think he really cared for a long time. I think he was very self-absorbed.
You know what? Honestly, I think I'll keep coming back to this because the way that it is now is frustrating to me to from the outside. Is training camp? Training camp used to be a time in a year when you'd go away, you would leave your facility because now all these teams have built these massive facilities, new stadiums that have accompanying training facilities right there. You never leave.
Mm-hmm.
So you maybe stay in a hotel, but most of the vets, they go home. You know what I mean? They want to be with their families and their kids and their wives and do it. And they get leeway to do that if they've been around for a long time. But when I was coming up, I was in Albany, New York,
mm-hmm.
in a dorm with a 70 other
with
guys.
With your Harry Potter books.
With my Harry Potter books, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't going home. I mean, I wasn't playing with my kids. I was melding with the guys on the team. That's lost now. And the fact that it's not attritious anymore. It's not like you're worn out on a Tuesday because you've just had 2-a-days on a Monday and it's 95 degrees and hot and humid and you're just it sucks and you're sharing this misery with 50 or 60 other guys and you just a bond is built that way.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist anymore. And so when you have an old head who is somewhat used to that way, and this younger generation that it's a cakewalk, relatively speaking, there's a disconnect. And so I can see why this message gets out, but the fact that it comes out anonymously is nonsense, and it's frustrating. And I know Big Ben's got to be frustrated about this. I know the Steelers got to be frustrated about this.
And to his credit, he's trying to resolve it, which is really the gist of the article on ESPN.com.
That's right.
Okay, 855-212-4227. We see the phones. We'll get them. We've got inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Jason Lock and 4 JLC at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. We'll spin around the NFL, some injuries. Obviously, week 2 begins tonight. Peter King, the third hour. Axe update is right now. A little afternoon baseball. The Mets try to stay hot. Axe coming at you right now. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. You guys see this Kobe video? Ice, baby, too cold.
I did not.
Too home. He is, I'll tell you, he's a master. He is the ninja tweeter. He's phenomenal when he tweets.
He's got to stop shaming little girls that want to dance instead of play on his basketball team.
Well, that's the essence and the origin of his response here, because there was a report out there, now, there was a story that Kobe scolded players on his AAU team because they wanted to miss some games in favor of dance recitals.
Scolded.
I got you. Kobe wrote back simply, not true,
mm-hmm.
and he found video.
He wrote it. He wrote one of the six of the seven
look,
girls were there.
Look.
I know. One of them decided not to be here, and she went on a dance rehearsal or whatever, and then he amended it because he got backlash.
But it doesn't mean he scolded them. He may have just been pointing out that one wasn't there.
He's,
big difference. Like, he lit him up.
He shamed her. You really think
that he shamed her?
Do you know how many followers he has?
Ten million? It's, I don't know.
Whatever it is.
Kobe's got 14 and a half million.
14 and a half million people were now going, oh, what the hell's wrong with that girl? Right?
No, she wanted to
dance instead of play on a basketball
when you put it that way.
And then they put up a video of them holding a picture of them holding a fourth place trophy, all like frowning. Like, we don't want to.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Wait.
He put the picture up?
Yes.
He put the picture up. Are you sure that he put the picture up?
Yes,
okay.
100%.
Then I might have to amend that a little bit.
He posted it and shamed the seventh girl who was not in the picture because she wanted to go dance.
Maybe she helped break the press.
And they're holding the thing like this. Like
like old droopy eyes. Yeah. We came in fourth place.
We came in fourth place.
Maybe she broke the press. Maybe she was the three-point specialist. Maybe they really missed her. But then why would he then subtweet somebody else's article and he just wrote, simply not true, okay? And so he clearly refuted that. But the point is, before you took me on this little winding road, he found this video of himself, right? When he had to be 12 or 13, and I guess it was in Italy, right? And he's on stage, he's wearing lime green, like neon lime green, almost like a 1990s Michael Jackson outfit, if you could almost take the 70s outfit from when he was somewhat normal up until into the 90s and transpose that. And he was doing Vanilla Ice's Ice Baby. He's dancing, and he wrote, hey, I missed basketball for 2 weeks for this.
There you go.
So, I mean, is he really shaming her?
No, I mean, he's not trying to, but he did.
Exactly.
People took it that way.
Well, that's
I'm
simple.
Just saying. It's interpretation. Everything is open to interpretation.
I interpret it differently.
How did you interpret it, Mike?
The way he says it is like, listen, this one girl was not as focused. She was more focused on dance recital. And then he goes on and continues and says, now she's all in on basketball. She loves hoops, and she's getting better It's all about growth and, you know, finding what you're passionate about.
Yeah, because she
so
did what I said.
He wasn't ripping her for going to dance. He was just saying that that basketball wasn't her priority. Dance was, and now things have changed, and she's getting better because she's trying harder. Because
he shamed her.
All right, now I found
she's and she's a seventh grader.
Let's see. Okay, now I have Kobe's. This was from Instagram. Here's our fourth place winners, and he put quotes around it. All right, I might have to take some stuff back. I still love the video that he put up.
The video is awesome.
Great. And he still refuted it. He said, simply not true. That's what I was reacting to. Six of the kids in this picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The seventh player not in the picture, oh boy, Kobe, I don't know if I can defend you fully on this, missed the game for a dance recital, so that should tell you where her focus was at this time, meaning she enjoyed dance more than ball, which is fine. He does point that out, which is fine. Now, question mark. She eats, sleeps, and breathes the game. So from this original group of seven, we have added a player 2 years younger, younger in caps to emphasize that if they don't win, it's her fault, maybe. a player whose team in our area folded and a player whose family moved here from Tennessee. Ba, 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 ba. You know what, Dick? I can see why you would say that a little
you
bit.
You sit corrected, don't you?
I stand. Slightly. I don't sit corrected. I sit. I stand. I sit. Enlightened.
There you
not
go.
Corrected.
I like that.
Of course you do.
I like that. That way you don't have to change your stance.
Exactly.
Just say, I learned a little bit.
Shows an open mind.
I like that.
A little pliability with the mind. That.
I sit enlightened.
Yeah. I was actually going to stand when I said that for some reason.
Yeah,
but I don't think getting up after today.
Let's do inbounds.
Might get motto. All right. Inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go, buddy. So while football players are expected to be tough and play through pain, we've always thought that was a necessary ingredient for football. We still do. That notion has been called into question recently on all levels after various injuries, concussion issues, and even a few deaths. Of course, high school, we've seen this a few times, sadly. Over the weekend, Falcons rookie right guard Chris Lindstrom broke his foot against the Vikes and remained in the game for 9 more plays.
Ugh.
Wow. After the game, teammates praised him, including Matt Ryan, saying, quote, that's pretty impressive. Chris is one tough dude, end quote. And Jake Matthews said, quote, it shows the character he has and how much he cares about the team, end quote. So, players and coaches should perhaps err on the side of caution a bit more these days rather than try to play through some serious injuries.
This is a hard one because the obvious answer is inbounds, and I'm going to say inbounds. But sometimes things happen, and the adrenaline is so high, and you think it's, okay, that was temporary. That's just pain. I'm not really injured. I'm going to push through it. This happened. I told you the story when I broke my thumb. We're playing against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Got nailed in my thumb, and it hurt really bad, but I had a glove on, and my wrists are taped like way up to here, so I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, you always used to tape the wrist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't really tell that something was wrong.
Yep.
It just like hurt like hell. And I was like, oh, let's go. So I played a couple more plays. I go to the sideline, and our trainer, Ronnie Barnes, he's like, yeah, it's broken. I'm like, ah.
Well, now here's the needle. Get back out there.
Tape it up. Let's go.
Yeah.
But seriously,
yeah.
But it was probably stupid to play with it broken.
Yeah.
But you can't really help yourself. In hindsight, it didn't affect me at all because it's a digit on my hand. But a bone in your foot can do serious damage. So I'm going to say inbounds, because the long-term effects of playing on if it was just slightly fractured, maybe it heals quicker.
Mm-hmm.
If you play on it for 9 more plays, it might do some significant damage. It could potentially put you out for the year. So I'm going to say inbounds, but it's a tough one.
It's a sensible approach. I'm going to say out of bounds. I could easily get on board. And actually, for the most part, I am on board with what you just said. And I say out of bounds, making the clear and distinct, separation between anything with the head. Anything above the neck,
no,
you sit down. That goes without saying. But if you could suck it up, if it's a rib, if it's a cartilage thing, if it's a hammy, a soft tissue, everybody's threshold for pain is very different. So I don't want to just drop one universal rule. Hey, if you're hurt, it's not JV. You can suck it up. You got 10 guys out there who are trying to make a living and counting on you. So I really respect that. I hear what you're saying. Tough question to really pin down with a definitive answer, but I'll say out of bounds on this one.
Are you in or are you out?
Mark Cuban, one of the more outspoken, innovative owners in all the sports. He's made a lot of waves, though, from admitting to tanking, the sexual harassment scandal that rocked the entire franchise. Cuban has made a lot of enemies and friends around the league here. Now Lamar Odom has written in his new autobiography that Cuban once berated him back in 2012 and actually kicked him hard in the shin. That's just a weird visual. Go out there and play harder, will you? Like a little chihuahua. I mean, what do you kick him in the shin? Kick him in the shin. That is a weird. Yeah, I hear you. That's odd. Back then, Cuban admitted he got into the heated confrontation with Odom at halftime and questioned his desire to play, which could be a no, which is a no-no. In or out? Mark Cuban is more of a problem for the NBA than a positive influence.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this. I think Mark Cuban's done a lot of really good things around the league, and he challenges the league on some business decisions or business directions that they go on. Look, I wasn't at this conversation. Neither were you. Neither were most people. He admits to getting into a confrontation, but not kicking him. Maybe he accidentally kicked him. But I can't. What is Mark Cuban going to do with Lamar Odom, who's, I mean, it's 10 inches taller than him?
He's 6'11", Lamar Odom.
He's enormous. Yeah. He's not going to kick him in the shin.
Maybe he tried to kick him in the face, and he's so much shorter than that's where he wound up kicking him in the shin.
Yeah, the report is Vince Carter had to hold him back, and it got a little heated, but that is what it is. But I don't think he's a problem more than a positive influence for the league.
I agree. But, boy, that is an odd description. I had not heard that until
this point. I can just envision it.
I know.
It's
know.
Funny. Make me laugh thinking about it.
No kidding. I would say out of bounds, he's he is interesting enough. He is assertive enough in his convictions where he does keep the league honest. I think that, you know, think about it. Most of the owners, they toil in relative anonymity.
That's right.
You know, most of the owners are, you know, some of them because they've been around a long. Obviously, we've seen Dolan slumped at the Garden for 20 years now, unfortunately. I mean, that visual is ingrained in all of our soul. And basketball fan, you know what he looks like. But a lot of the owners are relatively faceless. Their suits, they don't really weigh in verbally on the franchise, whether it's a draft pick or a free agent acquisition. I like having a little identity with it. Like, I'm from the school, like, I loved when, you know, Al Davis, you know, George Steinbrenner. Yeah. I like having people that you know about. It keeps it, I don't know, it's almost, I don't even know what the right word is.
I know what you're saying.
But it just keeps it more interesting.
It's like Steve Ballmer. Ballmer. You know, out in with the Clippers. He just, like, it's compelling.
What happens if they win the champion? He's going to lose his mind, that guy. Remember at the press conference?
Yeah, right. He might, I don't know what he's going to do, but it'll be excessive.
Yeah, and owners are supposed to be a little quirky and a little eccentric. So I have no problem with Cuban in terms of that.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, let's get to the races. And they're off. Back in 2015, American Pharoah became the first horse to win the Triple Crown since Affirm back in 1978. Just 3 years later, Justify matched the feat, winning another Triple Crown for owner Bob Baffert, who we've had on the show. However, a new report says that Justify tested positive for the PED scopolamine, I believe is how you pronounce it. After winning the Santa Anita Derby, that's the final race before the Kentucky Derby, for those who don't know that. Now, Justify should have been disqualified based on the test for the first leg of the Triple Crown, but was allowed to race. And the rest is history. Well, way to enforce the rules. Jeez, what do you even have him? In or out? Justify, this is easy. Justify should be stripped of his title as a Triple Crown winner.
No, it's not easy. This is out of bounds.
Out of bounds.
He shouldn't be stripped of his title.
Why not?
Because we don't know that what caused the positive test. And
he took drugs.
And the fact that they let him, but we don't know that he did. It could have been, they're saying it could have been in his food.
Is it a false positive? We're going to play that game now.
Positive.
He got his pharmacist gave him the wrong when he ambled down to the far, you know, like they say in the Dominican Republic.
What did he go to? He went to GNC, grabbed the bottle that, you know, that he thought was
CBD oil.
Exactly. And it ended up having some,
put it on his hoof.
He was at the gas station. They gave him some bad pills. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
I would say out of bounds,
it'll help
man.
You all night. Look,
they let him. They were aware of this and let him race. He didn't subsequently fail any other tests. So out of bounds, man.
You got to strip it. I mean, you got to strip him. Still sounds weird saying strip him, but you got to strip him. We're in. You got to strip the horse.
I say him.
You got to strip the horse of the accomplishment. Why in the world would we have drug testing if it's not going to be enforced? Now, the circumstances,
it's flawed. That's why.
Well, you don't know that it's flawed.
I'm just assuming it is.
Okay.
It's probably a safe assumption. It's my argument.
Here's the thing, though. At least pursue this with some vigor, with a little curiosity. I mean, otherwise, the whole sport is a sham. Now, if they do their due diligence and they say it was doctor prescribed or, you know, unintentionally digested, he went for the other bale of hay. I don't even know how to position this, but The horse took something that's illegal. Strip him. I'm sorry.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
So harsh. So harsh on the Triple Crown winner.
Hey, listen. I mean, to me, that was the easiest one of the day.
No, it wasn't.
What do you guys think? Real quick, what do you guys think?
Mike, you wrote the question. Justified in stripping him.
Ooh, good use of the word justified. Look at this guy.
That was brilliant.
Whoa.
Justified of
on
his
the surface,
triple crown.
It's clearly he's so smart. Inbounds, but I think when you dig deeper into why they chose not to, it sounds so scandalous, but I think they were initially trying to do the right thing and trying to give him a fair shake. And like Tiki said, he didn't fail any other tests. But if you want to go by the letter of the law, he failed. He should have not been able to race.
What's the law there for? I put quotes around the word law. What's it there for?
You know? It's suggestions. it's like the speed limit on I-80.
But he was taking the enhancement pill, getting ready for a fun night in the barn. Hey, what is this stuff?
You realize if I win these three races, what my life entails?
You stud the rest of my life.
Exactly.
Come on in. This is my barn. All right, hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney, get a little JLC up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.